Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm so excited to preach here. When I was a youth pastor about 15 years ago in Minnesota, every now and then I'd drive through Springfield for certain things, and I would see this big church off the highway. And I had some friends who were youth pastors here. Pastor Chris Davis was one of them, who was youth pastoring at the time. And I remember just driving by that church being, man, that place looks awesome. And then I got to come inside and I'm like, it really is awesome. And now here I am almost 15 to 20 years later getting to preach on a prayer service only by the grace of Jesus. It is an honor to be right here preaching at all the campuses. Here's what I need you to do. I need everybody at all the campuses to do this. You will thank me later, okay? I need everybody to put both of your hands out to your side like this. Everybody, okay? On the count of three, you're gonna clap above your head, okay? At all the campuses. Here we go. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. All right, good. Y'all are Minnesota Vikings fans now. Congratulations. I just got a bunch of Chiefs fans to become Vikings fans. I'm a born and raised Minnesota boy. I wanted to bring some Minnesota flavor. It's cold in Minnesota. I wanted to bring some of the cold weather here. In Minnesota, when we score a touchdown, we do a thing called the skull clap, okay? And if you're at one of the campuses and you're really upset at me and you're fuming, here, I'll calm you down in just a second, okay? Here's my better half. This is a picture of my wife, Stephanie Joy. She is a small town Wisconsin girl. She is a Green Bay Packer fan, okay? Small town Wisconsin girls, she's a Packer fan, I'm a Vikings fan, we're still working through things, okay? However, we just celebrated 14 years of marriage. I'm so thankful for my wife. In the last 8 years, we have traveled full-time as evangelists across America, and there was a young evangelist by the name of Billy Graham, and we learned and copied and pasted our ministry after Billy. When Billy was a young evangelist preaching for Youth for Christ events across America, he prayed this prayer early on in his ministry. He said, God, help me go where you want me to go and help me be who you've called me to become. And we have stolen that prayer. In the last 8 years, we've preached in 48 of the 50 states in America, and we've seen over 30,000 young people give their life to Jesus in the last 8 years. And we give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for that. And it would not be possible without Jesus and his grace and my wife, Stephanie Joy. So I always honor her. This is a picture of my little girl, Everly Dawn. She is 9. She's at the camp right now. And this is a picture of my 7-year-old boy, Malachi. And you can do the math. I've been on the road for 8 years. That means my children have only grown up on the road most of their lives. Airplanes, hotels, campgrounds, that is their life. That's all they know. There's very few evangelists left in the world today, but I believe God still gave the office of the evangelist, and we desire to see more evangelists raised up because God cares about the evangelist to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That picture of my son Malachi, I was getting ready to come here to the South Campus to preach to you tonight, and my son looks at me and puts on his adult hat. He goes, Dad, just so you know, tomorrow, you, Mom, and Everly are gonna get on a plane to go home. I go, son, you're coming with. He goes, nope, I'm staying at the camp. You guys are going. You're leaving, Dad. I go, son, you're my boy. You can't say that. You're coming with. He goes, no, Dad, I'm staying right here. I'm not leaving. And then he goes, I'm gonna miss you a little bit, but I'm gonna stay right here. So you've won my kids over. So thank you, Lindell family, Pastor Clint Wells and the team for investing into our family. As we consider y'all family. So thank you for that. If everybody could stand with me across all the campuses for the reading of God's word tonight, you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. If you were at our prayer services the last 2 weeks, Pastor John has been preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christ said to wait for my gift, wait for the promise of the gift that's coming. There was this baptism of the Holy Spirit that marked the early church. And it empowered the disciples, and it gave empowerment to the church, and the Holy Spirit is still baptizing people today. And in Acts chapter 3, we see continued fruit of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit looks like. And I would encourage you, if you are still pursuing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please keep pursuing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, he may baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, he might baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Or if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he loves to fill again and again and again and refill as he is faithful to do so. In Acts chapter 3, in the text tonight, we have Peter and John. And it says in verse 1, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him. I love this. It's intense. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. You got to keep in mind, Peter and John are recently baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. They have this new life. They have this new power operating within them. In verse 5, it says, so the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then verse 6, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Jesus, we are asking for a fresh revelation of you tonight. We are asking for a fresh encounter from you tonight. We want to leave here in amazement and wonder and awe at the name of Jesus. I thank you that the same baptism of the Spirit you gave 2,000 years ago, you are still doing to your people today. We thank you for the power that you want to give us in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Give it up for God's word. The title of tonight's message is titled, His Name. His Name. You know what's crazy? Is just by the sound of my voice, I literally can create a reaction or some sort of response in the room. Just by the sound of my voice, it can create some sort of feeling, some sort of emotion or reaction in the room. For example, what happens when you hear this?
My precious. Schmeagle, my precious.
Any Lord of the Rings fans out there? I guarantee you, there's some middle school boy that's sitting here tonight that just heard, my precious. And I guarantee you, that middle school boy, an idea just went off in his head. He's like, that's it. Tonight at midnight, when my brothers and sisters that are older than me sleeping in their rooms, I'm gonna go in their rooms and go, my precious. How about this? What happens when you hear this? Any Star Wars fans out there? Isn't it crazy that just by the sound of my voice, it can create some sort of reaction? How about this? Any Chewie fans out there? There's another Chewie in the audience. There's another one. If you are an adult in the room and you're wondering why I'm making noises in a microphone, this is camp night. This is camp night. This is for the youth. And you're a part of us tonight. Anybody love going to the grocery store? Anybody love going to the grocery store? Who here has a favorite cereal at the grocery store? Favorite cereal of all time. On the count of three, I need everybody at all the campuses to share the greatest cereal of all time. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Did anybody say Captain Crunch? Did anybody say Fruity Pebbles? Did anybody say Cocoa Pebbles? Did anybody say the greatest cereal of all time? It's called Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Did anybody say the cereal that your grandmother ate? It's called Grape Nuts. Did anybody say Grape Nuts? If you're a teenager and you're 15 years old, on the drive home tonight, just call your grandma and say, Grandma, what's Grape Nuts? She'll tell you, okay? They like cut your gums and they start bleeding. Just put a little sugar on it and you're fine. If you're like me, you can't do life and be bored. So true story. This is how my wife and I do grocery shopping. This is a true story. I'm in charge of watching the kids in the grocery store so my wife can shop. So when my kids were little, I would put them in the front of the stroller, the carts, those got those two little leg areas. And I would put them right there. And I would go to the end of the grocery aisle. There's gonna be grown men who totally judge me for this, but that's okay. And my kids would go, go daddy, go do it now. And I would get a running head start and push the cart as fast as I could down the aisle. And I would jump on the cart and we would go flying down the grocery aisles. And my wife would see her 40-year-old husband pushing children. And she would just go, blushing red, embarrassed that this is her husband. But then the strangest thing happened to me. We're in the middle of the grocery aisle in Aldi. And that next aisle over, there's this mom yelling to her little boy saying, shh, quiet, son. Son, shh, quieta. He was using his mouth, he was using his voice to cry out something. And as I'm an aisle across, I can't see him, but I can hear him. There's a three-year-old boy inside of Aldi, and he's using his voice crying out, making bird calls inside of Aldi. I'm one aisle over, and I just hear this. And here I am at 40. I hear a bird in the store. So what do? I start making my old bird call back to him. I'm just like, ooh, ooh. And the three-year-old hears another bird in the store with them. So he gets crazy excited. He's like, and my two kids hear bird calls. So they start making bird calls. They're like, ooh, 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 ooh. And before you know it, it sounds like the Amazon rainforest inside of all day. All because one three-year-old boy used his voice to cry out in a bird noise. Aldi turned into a bird call movement. Can you imagine? Isn't it interesting? The power of just one voice creating a movement in a room. What would it look like if teenagers knew how to use their God-given voice to call upon the name of Jesus, to see a movement take place inside of them, to see a movement take place inside of their home? What would it look like for men and grandparents to use their God-given voice to begin to cry out to Him? Because if we're really honest in the room tonight, humanity has been crying out for centuries. And I am convinced the greatest disease that's ever hit humanity was not COVID-19, although I lost friends, I lost adults to that disease. The greatest disease that's ever hit humanity was not a plague from centuries past. It was not the greatest sicknesses or the new fads, but the greatest disease that's impacted humanity more and has left more people crying out is this disease called sin. It has left more people crying out, searching for answers, searching for solutions. It's why we have kids who are growing up in broken homes. It's why we have people who feel isolated and alone. It's why we have people who are stuck in shame. It's the reason why we have dad who leaves mom or mom who leaves dad. It's the reason why we have vices and devices that are fighting for our attention. It's the reason why kids have scars on their arms. People have been crying out for a minute. And I just gotta tell you one thing. There's only one solution to this disease called sin. When man and woman sinned in the garden, it first invited sin into the world. And ever since that moment, there's only been one solution to this disease called sin. And it is when ordinary people learn how to use their voice to call on the name of Jesus, to call upon His name. It is only by then, when we humble ourselves, turn from sin and call on His name, that we begin to see God show up in our life. It's all about His name. It's all about His name. And there are a couple things I want to point out to you tonight when it comes to His name. And number one, if you're taking notes tonight, is this: His name is different. His name is different. It's not like any other name. When you were given a name at birth, your mom named you, or your dad named you, or both of your parents named you. When Jesus was assigned at His birth, His name, it wasn't Mary and Joseph, earthly figures, that named Him. It was a divine angel that spoke and prophesied over His life what His name was to be. His name was divine. His name is clearly different than any other name. Not only was it a divinely given name, the meaning of His name is different. Jesus means to be a forgiver of sins. In Matthew 1:21, it says, He shall be called Jesus, Emmanuel, one who will forgive sins. The very meaning of His name has hope attached to it. The very meaning of His name has a proclamation to the world that there is only one solution for the sin problem, and it is the one and one only who can have the authority to forgive and cleanse people from their sins. His name is different. At the mention of His name, demons tremble. At the mention of His name, darkness has to go. At the mention of His name, demons begin to flee. I have never watched demons leave a person's body when the name Buddha was used. I've never seen demons leave a person's body when the name Muhammad was used. I've never seen demons leave a body where the name Krishna was used. There's only one name that has authority over hell and demonic activity and power, and it is the name of Jesus. Because He is light. There is no darkness in Him. He is the essence of light and the fullness of light. And where there is light, there can be no darkness. His name is different. It's a different name. And then I don't know many people in history that have been born, that when they are born, there's an assassination attempt put on a plot of people. But when he was born, King Herod put out an effect that every boy under the age of 2 must be slaughtered and must be killed. Don't you see? All of hell has tried to wipe out the name of Jesus. All of hell has been attacking the name of Jesus. All of hell has tried to come at the name of Jesus. Have you ever noticed this before? Curse words are never associated with the name of Buddha, Muhammad, or Krishna, or Joseph Smith. You don't hear curse words of other gods of other religions. Why is it that when you hear curse words, it's always associated with the name of Jesus? Here's why. Because when gods are dead, there's no reason to curse them. His name is not a dead name. His name is different, that is alive. He was resurrected on the third day. And it's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual war. It's a light that can only be found in the name of Jesus. And then you tell me what this means. But look at what it says in Philippians on the screen. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at what Romans 14 says. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. A lot of people in the earth today know the name LeBron James. A lot of people in the earth today know the name Michael Jordan. A lot of people in the earth today know the name Messi. They know the name Ronaldo. They know the name Taylor Swift. A lot of people know a lot of people that have big followings. But I will just say this. There is no other name. There is no other name where which every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the name that is above every other name. He is the name that is superior to all. His name is different. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. And when he was preaching in a certain village, the chief of the village came out to him. And all these men in the village surrounded Hudson Taylor. And the chief stops Hudson. And he says this: how long has your people in Europe known about this name? How long in Europe, where you're from, have they known about the name of Jesus? And Hudson Taylor responds in humility, And he tells the chief, our people have known about this name for centuries. And then the chief looks back at Hudson Taylor and says this, what took you so long from you guys waiting to come here to tell me? He said, I watched my father, I watched my grandfather lead this village, and they spent their whole lives searching for the truth. They tried Confucianism, they tried Taoism, they tried Buddhism, they've tried all of it, and they knew it wasn't the answer. And I am convinced today that the name you're telling about, the name Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. And I wish my father and grandfather would have known this name, because his name is different. It's different. His name is not only different, but number two is this. His name heals. His name heals. In Acts chapter 3, it's on the screen, it's in the text, it says in verse 6, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name. I give you in the name. I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There is power in the name of Jesus. You want to know why your grandma's been praying over your life in the name of Jesus? Because there's authority and power in that name. You want to know why your grandpa wakes up at 5 a.m. to pray over your family in the name of Jesus? Because there's power and healing in that name. His name is different, and his name, it heals. Look at what Acts 3 verse 16 says. It says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus's name. It's his name. If you've ever wondered why you've heard someone pray and end their prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, it's because as followers of Christ, that is our proclamation, that is our hope, that is our substance, that is our source, that is what it goes back to, and it will always be about the name of Jesus. His name, it heals. In the last 8 years, traveling across America, I have watched blind eyes open in the name of Jesus. I have watched deaf ears open in the name of Jesus. I have watched x-rays of backs that are bent with scoliosis healed in the name of Jesus. I have watched heart palpitation and heart murmurs be healed and verified by doctors with the new heart in the name of Jesus. I have watched cancer disappear in the name of Jesus. His name heals. I was in Monterrey, Mexico. And these group of high schoolers run up to me and they said, Pastor Micah, come here. We need you, please come. And I walk down into this little house. It's a single mom. I've never seen death before until I saw this little girl sitting in a chair. She was shriveled up in a ball in a chair. She couldn't move her muscles. Her muscles were stuck like this. Her skin was discolored, and I got down on my knees, and I looked her straight in her eyes, and I just began to weep. And I was staring death in the face, and I asked the mom, I said, can we pray for your daughter in English? Our team would love to pray in Jesus' name. Can we do that? And the mom said, yes, we've tried everything. We get down and we look at this girl in the eye, and our team just begins to pray over her. We take authority over the sickness. We take authority over the disease. We take authority over the death that we saw in this girl's life. And we said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I watched as this girl went from crippled in a ball, begin to stretch out her legs, stretch out her arms. And I watched this girl's color begin to return in her skin. And this girl was healed right before our very eyes. It wasn't us. It was the name of Jesus that healed that little girl. And it was the name of Jesus that saved that family. His name heals. It's only by his name. His name is different. His name heals. And my third and final point tonight is this. Is his name saves. His name saves. Peter and John get in trouble. The Sanhedrin are questioning them. And I love their response in Acts chapter 4. It's coming on the screen. It says, "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Do you see the emphasis of his name throughout these passages? "Whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." You notice how the disciples are quick to point out that they're not the healer. They're very quick to say, "Who is the healer?" It's Jesus in his name. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. His name, it saves. There's no other name. It's not your parents' faith. It's not your grandparents' faith. And your parents' faith might be genuine, it might be real, it might be true, but not even your parents' faith can save you. No good deed could save you. No good work could save you. Nothing in your own righteousness could save you. Salvation is a free gift given by the grace of Jesus. And here's the truth. When you call on his name, when you call on his name, you shall be saved. When you believe in him and repent, you shall be saved. Is there anybody thankful that at any moment, at any time, we could just say the name Jesus? I'm convinced my wife's favorite word out of her mouth is Jesus. The amount of times I hear my wife walking in the kitchen, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." My wife's driving the car, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Oh, how sweet is that name, Jesus. Oh, how precious is that name, Jesus. And 'tis so sweet to trust in that name, Jesus. Can I tell you, teenagers will often ask me, "What's the greatest miracle you've ever seen?" And I have seen some of the craziest physical miracles. But I'll tell you, the greatest miracle I've ever witnessed with my own eyes is not someone who is physically healed of a terminal disease. It was not someone who I saw get up out of a wheelchair. It was not someone who I saw have cancer disappear. But the greatest miracle I've ever seen is what I saw this morning at camp. When I get done preaching, in my last preaching assignment, I give teenagers one last chance to turn from sin, to turn from lostness, and to come to Jesus. And my final call was this: if you don't believe in God, if you don't love God, if you hate God, if you were forced here, if your parents forced you to come here, if you're just playing games, I'm gonna give you one last chance to go from death to life, to come to the saving name and saving grace of Jesus. And I watched as a half dozen plus kids walked forward and went from death to life right here at this altar. It's the greatest miracle, because his name saves. His name saves. And his name forgives sinners. He heals. His name is different. Every physical miracle I've ever seen is beautiful and it glorifies Jesus. But even the people that I've seen healings with physically will one day pass away from this earth. And it's why the greatest miracle will be the one that brings you into everlasting life forever in eternity in heaven with Jesus. Because that miracle is forever with him. His name is different. His name heals. And his name saves. Which leads me to the whole point of this whole message, and it's this: when you call on his name, things begin to change. When you call on his name, things begin to change. When was the last time he heard you call on his name? When was the last time you heard from his kids? When was the last time someone walked in on a private door of you praying and crying out to his Father, your Father in heaven? When was the last time someone interrupted you in a personal private moment just calling on his name? Let me illustrate what this can look like. I was at a park playing with my son, and I took a break and sat on a bench and was on my phone, and all of a sudden, my son, he's three, I hear him yelling, "Dad, save me!" And I look up, and my son's hanging 10 feet off the ground on the monkey bars. "Dad, save me!" And I know if I don't get there, my son's gonna let go and break his neck, break a bone, something terminal could happen. So I chuck my phone and I start sprinting. "My son, I'm coming, son. Dad, save me!" And just before my son lets go, I grab my son and I squeeze him in my arms. I go, "It's okay, son. Dad's got you. It's okay, son. Dad saved you. It's okay." And can I just tell you, as a dad, when I hear my son call for my name, "Dad, save me!" Everything within me as a father wants to sprint towards my son to say, "Son, I got you. Son, I'm gonna save you. Son, it's okay." How much for? How much more when our heavenly Father sees his daughter, sees his son saying, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save my family. Jesus, save my marriage. Jesus, save my kids. Jesus, save my prodigal granddaughter. Jesus, would you save my workers? Jesus, would you save my employees, my friends?" When you call on his name, things begin to change. And before you ever called on his name, he first called on yours. Before you ever lifted your voice to him, he first shouted his voice towards you. When the greatest disease in the world that's ever hit the world, it wasn't Adam and Eve that called on God to save them. It was God who called on his missing kids. When he said, "Where are you?" The heart of the Father is not to condemn. The heart of the Father is to save those kids who are missing. They deserved death. They deserved punishment. And they knew they would die if they ate from the fruit. Do you see the mercy of the Father in Genesis? And then you get to the New Testament and you see the Messiah of the world come. And don't you see his voice echoes what he heard his Father saying in the garden that day? His mission as he walked this earth was, "Where are you? The last sheep of Israel, the Gentiles, the nations. I'm here." Look at what Acts 3 says. Verse 19. "Repent then. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know what all of our response is in here tonight? To repent, to turn to the Lord, so times of refreshing may come.